Okay, today is June 4th, 2021, and the time is 8:09 a.m. I'm Inspector Sergio Gutierrez from the Santa Ana Police Internal Affairs Unit. We are in the Santa Ana Police Department Internal Affairs Office Conference Room. Present in the room is Inspector Javier Aceves, Sergeant Jim Rose. Aware that this interview is being recorded?
Yes.
I'm conducting an administrative investigation into the shooting incident in which you have been involved. Also present in this interview, my partner, Inspector Javier Aceves. During this investigation, I'll be gathering facts and looking at the circumstances which led up to the shooting incident. At the conclusion of the investigation, the administration will review the incident to determine if department policy has been followed. You are admonished that if any information is obtained either during the investigation or during the administrative review that indicates you have violated any department orders, rules, regulations, policies, or procedures, you could be subject to disciplinary action. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Due to the nature of this administrative investigation, Government Code Section 3303H requires me to advise you of your rights. Therefore, it is important that you understand that criminally, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in court. You have the right to an attorney before and during questioning. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you before questioning. Do you understand? If you wish, you understand?
Yes.
Take the free one.
Do you understand each of these rights that I've explained to you?
Yes.
With these rights in mind, would you like to speak to me now?
On advice of counsel, I'm directing my client not to waive his Miranda rights. Say no.
No.
Okay. While you have the right to remain silent with regards to any criminal investigation, you do not have the right to refuse to answer my questions administratively. This is an administrative investigation. I am therefore ordering you to answer all of my questions fully and honestly. If you refuse to answer my questions, your silence can be deemed insubordination and result in administrative discipline up to and including termination. Any statement you make under compulsion of the threat of such discipline cannot be used against you criminally, nor in any civil proceeding except in limited circumstances. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Jim, how long have you been a police officer?
Approximately 24 years.
Were you assigned to work on June 2nd, 2021?
Yes.
What were your hours that day?
0530, scheduled to go to 1800 hours.
Okay. What is your current assignment?
Patrol sergeant. Day shift, Southeast District.
How much sleep did you get the night before? So the night of 6-1 into 6-2?
Approximately 7 hours.
And what are your normal work days?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
On June 2nd, 2021, during processing by the Orange County Crime Lab personnel, you were wearing a Class C uniform consisting of dark blue wool uniform pants, black leather boots, ballistic vest, a dark blue short sleeve uniform shirt complete with Santa Ana Police Department patches attached at the shoulders, a Santa Ana PD badge attached above the left pocket, and a silver metal name tag attached above the right pocket. Body-worn camera mounted attached to the middle of his chest, and a folding knife in the right pant sat pocket. Your duty gear consisted of a black leather duty belt with key holders and keys, duty holster and weapon with a tactical light located on the right, handcuff case with handcuffs, tourniquet, OC spray, a Taser 7 model Taser, serial number X400-401K, pack set serial number 80121 in a holder with a lapel mic attachment, baton ring, and leather magazine pouch with two loaded magazines. You were carrying a Glock model 17, 9mm caliber, serial number BKPP245 with one 17-round magazine, and the condition of the magazine was one round in the chamber and 15 in the inserted magazine. Additional magazines you had on were two fully loaded 17-round magazines. You were also carrying a department-authorized black holster designed for the use of the Streamlight TLR1 light attachment. Your body-worn camera with a serial number of X6039B5F7 and a Smith & Wesson Airweight 38 backup with a serial number of BUE1337 with 5 federal 38 special plus P rounds. Does that sound
all sounds accurate? Okay.
Except he didn't have his body-worn camera on when processing his IA had taken it for downloading, and there was also, I believe, a key holder in front of the weapon.
He mentioned the key holder with the keys.
Okay. And then the taser number that you provided is the model number, not the serial number.
Correct. The model number first, taser 7, and I think I read out the serial number.
The serial number was never checked because it's the serial number on the taser is under the darts, and the darts were not removed.
Right. The number I'm reading was after you were processed, the serial number we got from the taser at that point. Right. Okay. That's correct. Okay. Describe where you were wearing your body-worn camera that day, approximately on your body.
Centered torso.
Okay. And was it in the correct direction? In other words, you know, so you can put it upside down, you can put it facing up.
Yes. It was facing where I could read the display on the top.
Okay. Can you describe the make, model, and caliber of your handgun you had?
It was a Glock 17, 9mm semi-automatic handgun.
Okay. And you were carrying a backup that day, is that correct?
Yes.
Where do you carry your backup?
My front left pants pocket.
What were you driving that day? Describe the vehicle.
It was a marked police vehicle, black and white, Santa Ana police vehicle. It was a Tahoe, unit number 833.
Okay, were you working alone in your vehicle that day?
Yes.
Okay, according to the call history that day, this was your first call for service on June 2nd, 2021. How would you describe your shift prior to responding to this call for service?
I swung by a previous call to this. It was a medical aid that resulted in somebody passing away. I stopped checking on my corporal who was handling that scene, and then I had gone to a fairly empty parking lot to go through emails.
Okay, what type of call did you respond to at the Cavalry Chapel warehouse at approximately 8:53 hours?
The call was a 417 just occurred. Basically, it was a man with a gun call.
Okay, I'm going to show you an aerial photograph. This is going to be item number one. Keep in mind, this photograph here was taken from Google Maps. This is not an accurate depiction of any vehicle placement, any shrubbery or trees, anything like that. I don't even know when this was taken. This is just pulled off of Google Maps. It's just a representation of the area, the buildings where they are at the time the photograph was taken. Just for your reference, if you want to take a look at that. And I'll ask you some questions from there.
Okay.
Tell us what you did from the moment you received the call to respond to the Calvary Chapel warehouse leading up to what occurred near 3518 West Lake Center Drive.
So when I heard the radio call, I was on the other side of town. This did not occur in my assigned district. As I noticed there were no other supervisors responding, I started proceeding this way before attaching myself to the call as I monitored it. The radio call described the suspect as last walking westbound Lake Center from Susan. So I drove to the area of Harbor and Lake Center, drove through the observatory parking lot, went back around and drove into the Home Depot parking lot, and as officers were responding and handling the call for service, I parked in the Home Depot parking lot, basically the south parking lot of the Home Depot. It's not on the map, it's along the west side of Home Depot, north side of Lake City.
Good. And tell us what happened from there.
As I stopped as I was in the Home Depot parking lot, Airship Duke broadcast that a subject matching the suspect description had walked southbound across Lake Center, I believe he said west of the railroad tracks. Those railroad tracks run along the east side of Home Depot. I was on the west side of Home Depot. I maintained my position, and I looked, and I saw police vehicles in the area of Lake Center and the railroad tracks. And then Duke broadcast. I took it as him talking directly to me. He said, "Unit on Lake Center, if you make a left on Lake Center and right into the first driveway, that's where the suspect had gone." And so Duke had broadcast and basically directed me. And as I was southbound through, again, it's not depicted on this map, but southbound through the parking lot off of Lake Center, he said, "You're going to pass that building, and the suspect is in that alleyway walking eastbound." So,
let me just stop you right there. I've got a blown up picture. Again, this is taken from Google Maps, not the day of the incident. The vehicles that you may see in the photograph are may or may not have been there the day of this incident, along with shrubbery and other things. But this is a aerial view of the buildings where the shooting occurred. If that will help you, you can take a look at that. And if you want to just pick it up from there.
Okay. So as he directed me southbound through this parking lot, that would be on the west side of these buildings that make up the 3500 block of Lake Center. He directed me to this alleyway between the two buildings, at which point I saw a male matching the suspect description that initially was on the call for service, that officers had broadcast after they had responded, and then that Duke had broadcast. So a male matching that description, walking eastbound. If I can step back, before I went south of the north wall of this first building, I activated my rear amber lights on my police vehicle so that any responding units would be able to see me and follow me in. Pulled into the alleyway, and that's where I saw the suspect.
Okay. And go ahead. You could just continue on there.
So as I pulled in a marked police vehicle, I saw this guy, and as I drove behind him, at one point he looked over his shoulder. I saw his face. Yeah, I saw a tattoo on his face, which matched the description that was broadcast by officers as well as Duke. The suspect immediately quickly turned to his right. There were a couple of cars parked on the south side of that alley facing southbound. He immediately turned right and went along the driver's side of one of those parked vehicles. As he did that, I saw something shiny in his right hand that I feared was a gun. It was a shiny metal object in his right hand. I quickly put my vehicle in park, exit my vehicle, and believing that he was going to be taking cover on the far on the driver's side of that car and preparing for a gun battle, I took cover behind the hood of my vehicle as I drew my weapon. He then turned to his left, and as he came basically from my right to left, I saw that there were open bay doors to the business on the south side there. As he moved from my right towards my left, I saw as his right hand came up, there was a metal object that looked like a handgun. I believe it was a handgun. And I believe he was preparing to engage me in a gun battle. So I hesitated for a split second until he moved to where my angle did not, so my backdrop was clear because I had a concrete building behind him, but I did not want to be firing into an open bay door. So as he came across, I fired two rounds and he went down. I stopped firing. I held him at gunpoint. When I scanned the area, I saw the officers were on the east side of that building. There were a number of officers there with their guns drawn, pointing at the suspect, at which point I communicated for them to address the suspect. I remembered to activate my body camera at that time. Unfortunately, that was not the first thing I did, so I activated my body camera, and then I broadcast that I was involved in a shooting, and I moved up to the north end of that alley where I had more cover and to avoid the crossfire while a team of officers approached and took the suspect in custody. When I broadcast that, I broadcast to have medics respond. Once the suspect was handcuffed, I got back on the radio and advised them, go ahead and have medics come into the scene. And I saw they were they had him handcuffed, and they were beginning to try to address his injuries. I walked back and retrieved a first aid a medical kit out of my unit, handed it to one of the officers. And once I saw that there's officers on scene handling that, I went ahead and removed myself from the situation, shut off my body-worn camera. Corporal Bonilla was the first supervisor on scene, and so I instructed him to handle, to grab his notepad and handle the scene, and go forward from there.
Quite anything so far? Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you some of the same questions or things that you already answered, but just to kind of break it down a little bit more. And I'm going to ask you some specific questions, kind of backing up as we go through this incident again, okay? What were you thinking about after hearing the information in the call about the crime alleged and the weapon involved?
When I heard that, and I heard that it was at the Calvary Chapel, having dealt with employees, staff, security at Calvary Chapel numerous times, I believe them to be credible witnesses, credible victims, and as they're saying that this person was attempting to break into a vehicle. The call came out that the suspect attempted to break into a vehicle. When confronted by employees of the church, he brandished a handgun. So I was thinking, this is a dangerous suspect, and he was last seen on foot, so I believe he was still going to be in the area. So that's when I started responding as a supervisor to make sure that it's handled appropriately, safely, and that was my thinking as I was responding to the scene.
Okay, when you heard the call, what was the description or the physical description of the suspect?
The initial call, I believe, was a dark-skinned male Hispanic wearing a blue windbreaker over black pants, I believe.
Okay, I've got the incident detail report here, and you can take a look at this if you like as well. It, I believe, has some information in the call, if that refreshes your memory. Sorry, the font type is super tiny.
I'll assume that this is intentionally done because I'm old and, you know, I want to be able to read it.
I mean, so the call added 120 pounds. I don't remember the weight being. I didn't remember hearing the weight or didn't pay much attention to that when I heard the. I was thinking more male Hispanic, blue top over black pants. Mm-hmm. Last walking westbound on Lake Center from Susan.
Okay.
I do remember it was he was described as brandishing a handgun and having the handgun with the property that he was they described it as a bundle of items that he was holding.
Okay. According to what you heard, was he holding it in his hands or did he have it in some kind of backpack or container or something like that?
I envisioned it. They said it was he was holding it with the bundle of items. I envisioned it and being in his hand amongst items. It didn't say what items. I just envisioned clothing or what have you, whatever he was carrying. I envisioned he just had it with him
basically covered with whatever items he had.
Did you envision him carrying it in what manner?
Hands in front of him.
Where did you respond from when you first decided to go to this call?
I was on in a parking lot off of Grand, about 500 South Grand.
So, can you describe your direction of travel when you were heading towards this area?
I came from the southbound Grand. I went westbound. I don't remember. Basically, whatever lights were giving me the green. I don't remember if I went westbound Segerstrom all the way, or if I went Warner. I don't remember exactly. I do remember my goal was knowing the industrial area, knowing lots of transients to be in the area, lots of places for a suspect on foot to hide. I remember just wanting to get over to Harbor Boulevard since he was last seen westbound. So I don't remember at what point I intersected with Harbor and came southbound Harbor to, I made a U-turn at Lake Center to pull into the parking lot. So that's, I know I made my way southwest from 500 North Grand down to the area of Harbor and MacArthur, where I ultimately got before I started my area.
Okay, if I can take a look at this map here again, the bigger map. I remember earlier you saying that when you first arrived in the area, did you pull into the Home Depot parking lot? Is that what you said?
No, first I went, basically I came southbound Harbor, made a U-turn at Lake Center, and pulled into the Observatory parking lot, which is west of the Home Depot. I came out onto Lake after not seeing, there was pedestrians out walking, nobody indicating anything was out of the ordinary. I exited Lake Center, went back westbound, northbound Harbor, over to MacArthur, I went westbound, and I came into the north part of the Home Depot parking lot, which is northwest of the building itself. And as I pulled into the parking lot, I was driving into the Home Depot parking lot when Duke broadcast that he had a subject matching the description off of Lake Center and the railroad tracks.
Okay, so when you arrived in the smaller area, the specific area where the shooting occurred, which would be item number two, photograph here, can you describe again how you came into the area and which direction you were facing, the unit that you were driving was facing?
Okay. From this photograph, the main buildings, there is a north-south roadway, part of this parking lot, that runs along the west side of these buildings. What's not shown on the map is the north side of Lake Center, so that the exit of Home Depot that I was at, it's not on either of these maps, is just west of that road that I'm talking about. So I was northwest of basically what's depicted here on this map. I came southbound out of the parking lot of Home Depot, eastbound Lake Center, southbound into the driveway, and then I turned eastbound into the alleyway between the first two buildings, the north in this complex, and that's where I made contact with the suspect.
So when you parked, which direction was your vehicle facing?
I was facing eastbound.
Go ahead, Corey.
Using photo two, you said eastbound. That would be your car's pointing towards the dirt lot that's on the photo.
Correct.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. What was the weather like that day?
It was overcast, typical Orange County morning. Wasn't clear or sunny, but it was well lit.
Could you tell where the sun was in relation to you and your view of this parking area or this alleyway where you first contacted the suspect?
I think the haze was thick enough to where I didn't notice one particular person, but approximately, you know, just before 9 a.m., it would have been further east of me, but it wasn't like a sunrise or sunset where it's glaring where you're looking at the sun. It was, the area was well lit.
And And what was the suspect wearing when you contacted him in that parking area?
A blue, looked like a blue sweatshirt and dark pants.
When you exited your vehicle to contact him, the suspect, can you describe the scene, including any cover that was either there or not, or anything else of note?
So, as I was still moving eastbound slowly in my vehicle, approximately, I would say probably 20 to 30 feet behind him to maintain the, what I felt was a comfortable, safe distance. I do remember two cars parked on the south side of that alley, facing south against that building on the south. They weren't right next to each other. There was some space in between them. He looked back over his shoulder where I saw him, and then when he reached just beyond that second car, I want to say it was like a champagne color, gold colored sedan. He quickly turned to his right, as if he was taking cover behind that car, at which point the most immediate cover I had was my vehicle. So that's when I put it in park, exit my vehicle, and used the front, the engine block as cover as I drew my weapon.
At that point, did you see any other person or officer in your field of view?
Did not see any other officers. I do remember seeing other bystanders in the area. I don't remember at what point, but I do remember seeing bystanders in the area. I don't remember if it was just before or just after, but at the time that I saw the suspect, I did not see any other officers.
Okay. Can you describe the suspect's demeanor when you first saw him?
When I first saw him, he appeared to be walking normally away from me. He had not looked back yet.
Okay. Was he doing anything unusual?
At that time, no. I couldn't see his hand. I was behind him. His hands were in front of him. I could not see anything in his hands. He was just walking kind of down the center of that alley.
In which direction?
He was walking eastbound.
Okay. And how do you know he saw you?
Because at one point he turned over and I saw his face, and as soon as he looked back, saw me, he looked back forward and quickly basically reacted to my presence. He reacted to, it was obvious from 24 years on the job that he wasn't stopping to talk, he wasn't waiting to be ordered or anything. He immediately reacted and made a quick movement to his right, to the nearby that parked vehicle.
His reaction to seeing you that you're describing, what were you thinking at that point?
I thought he's going to engage me in a gun battle. In a split second, it reminded me of a different officer involved shooting here at the Santa Ana Police Department regarding a suspect that I had worked on that investigation at that officer-involved shooting, where the suspect took cover by a parked vehicle. That's what I immediately thought of, was as he moved to his right towards a parked vehicle, shiny object in his hand, it was not any indication, not like somebody that was going to surrender. It was his movements made me think that he's about to take cover and engage me in a gun battle. I believed he was armed. I believed he had a handgun. This is a suspect from a brandishing a handgun call. And when I saw this shiny object in his metallic object in his hand, it looked like a handgun. The way he was holding it, I believed he was seeking cover, preparing to come up on target on me. At which point, I sought cover and drew my weapon.
Okay. At the time you arrived on the call, did you activate your body-worn camera? So in other words, when you were driving into this industrial area, did you activate your body-worn camera at that point?
No, I did not.
Is there a reason you did not activate the camera when you went en route to the call?
as the super, I hadn't even attached myself to the call. I was just moving into that area in case I was needed from a supervisory standpoint. And I was going to wait till I had, if I had to contact somebody, a member of the public, then I would activate my body cam. That's my thinking, because I'm not a patrol call patrol officer. I'm not handling calls for service. It's not routine for me to get out and interact with victims, witnesses, only if a supervisor is needed. So that's why I had not activated my body worn camera.
In what condition was your body worn camera prior to arriving to the scene, or when you got there?
In buffering mode.
In buffering mode. Okay. Where, going back to when you first contacted the suspect, where did you first see him? If you could kind of point to the area there and describe it.
It's hard to estimate based, because I was on the ground and trying to, I didn't have this aerial view. I can't even tell where those bay doors are. I don't know where those vehicles are parked. I would say when I first saw him, he was probably about one third of the way into that alley, closest to the west side of the alley. My best guess. Okay. My best estimation.
And when you say one third of the way, are you talking about between the western edge of this building and the eastern edge of the same building?
Correct. Closer to the western edge.
Okay. When you first saw him, can you tell me again or describe further what was he doing?
He was walking eastbound, just in the middle of the alley with his hands in front of him. I was listening to the radio traffic from Duke saying, okay, you know, you're going to make a left turn, he's going to be right there in front of you. And when I turned left, that's where I saw him.
Okay. And can you describe what he was carrying and where he was carrying in relation to his body?
I could not.
I was going to say at that time.
At that moment.
Yep. Good.
I couldn't see his hands. All I saw was his back, back of the head, back, just walking away. I could not see anything in front of him.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you saw a silver object in his hand. In which hand was he holding it?
In his right.
Okay. How was he holding the item? What did it appear to you to be, and how was he holding it?
It was in his right hand, what I would describe as a pistol grip. It looked like a gun. It was, his hand, I saw what looked like the frame of a semi-automatic handgun protruding from the top of his hand forward in the same direction as his, that would be in line with his forearm going forward.
Okay, when you first contacted him, did you identify yourself as a police officer verbally?
No.
Did you give him any commands?
I don't remember.
What was his, if you can go over again, just his response to seeing you, what he did immediately afterwards?
He immediately turned to his right and went along the right side of a parked vehicle. Well, I'm sorry, along the driver's side of a parked vehicle. So that would have been the left side of a parked vehicle. He went from being directly in front of me to my right.
Okay, and then just cover again, what led to your decision to shoot in that moment?
With his actions, obviously not compliant, I don't remember if I hadn't even had an opportunity to yell, stop, drop, whatever. All I saw was immediately he went to his right. I saw an object in his hand that I believe was a gun. And then when he came around to, he turned to his left, basically, so his hand and the object I thought was a gun came across his body towards me, because I was off to his left shoulder as he came around this way. I believed he was going to engage me and was going to shoot me, at which point I felt I needed to shoot him to stop the threat.
And in what direction were you facing roughly when you shot him?
In a southeasterly direction.
How many rounds did you shoot?
Two.
Are you right or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Did you hit the suspect?
I believe so.
How do you know that you hit him?
because after I fired that second round, the suspect went down and started yelling as if he was in pain.
Were any other officers present at the moment you shot that you're aware of?
I did not see any at that moment as I began, I guess, scanning and assessing as we're trained. That's when I saw officers at the east end of that same alley that I was in. I saw at least two police cars and officers with weapons out, at which point I communicated with them that they would contact the suspect, and that's when I backed up to a better position of cover to avoid any crossfire.
And again, when you're talking about this alley, did you see the officers, in other words, at the eastern edge in between these two buildings or further down towards the railroad tracks?
The edge of the buildings that basically, if those two buildings were connected on the exterior, it would have enclosed them. So there was no other avenues for vehicles to go in or out. It was where my vehicle came in from the west side and where they were from the east side. So basically, to describe for the tape, yeah, just the building itself, even though this shows something like this shows an MBC construction labeled at 3500B, that was not included in what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the longer, more narrow building.
Okay. Based on the suspect's action, did you consider any other option other than shooting at him?
I did not, because I believed he was going to use deadly force against me, so the only reasonable option I had was lethal force.
Okay. So what do you think would have happened to you if you had not shot at him?
At the time, I thought he would have shot at me. He would have hurt or killed me.
What did you do immediately after the shooting? What did you see and what did you do?
I moved back a little bit towards my vehicle where I had a little more cover. And I maintained cover on the suspect. And I coordinated with the officers on the east end of that alley to make sure they had cover of the suspect and that they would contact the suspect, at which point I could excuse myself from the scene, and I backed up to avoid any crossfire. I broadcast that I was involved in a shooting, and I requested medics. As the officers approached the suspect, I holstered my weapon. Once the suspect was handcuffed, once they had made contact, I started walking again towards the suspect. When officers had the suspect handcuffed, I got on the radio and advised them to go ahead and send medics into the scene. I walked back to my police vehicle, retrieved a first aid kit, and brought that back and handed it to one of the officers as they were trying to medically treat the suspect.
Okay, other than handing the medical kit, for lack of a better term, to one of the officers, did you provide any medical aid yourself?
No, I did not.
Okay, and what did the medical aid consist of that you saw happening in front of you there?
They had taken off his, they cut off his pants, and I saw he did have a wound on his, I believe that was his left hip thigh area. I don't know what they did at that point. I just saw that they had cut his clothing off, and I excused myself from the scene. And I was concerned more about making sure there was somebody there to manage the scene, making sure protocols followed, all the steps were there. And then I had other officers at the scene that were concerned about my well-being, trying to get me away from the scene.
Were there anything else that I missed?
Go ahead. When you first saw the suspect, what was the distance that you first saw him, from you to him?
I estimate My first time, I would estimate 30 feet, so it's maybe, yeah, maybe about 30 feet.
Okay, and at that point, he's already walking eastbound in the alley?
Correct.
And where are you at? Are you coming into the mouth of the alley?
When I first saw him as I was making my left turn from southbound to eastbound into the alley. So as I'm making my left turn, I saw him walking in the alley.
Okay. And you trailed him, is that right?
Correct.
And at one point, he turned to face you. What was the distance at that point?
When he looked over his shoulder, his right shoulder at me, I would say still 20 to 30 feet away from me.
Okay. At that point, was he walking, and did he turn? Was he positioned in the center of the alley, closer to one side or the other?
Pretty much in the center, slightly off to the right or south side of the alley, but pretty much in the center.
Okay. And at what point did you see what appeared to be the handgun?
After he looked over his right shoulder, he quickly turned to his right and made a movement to his right towards the south. As he did that, that's when I saw something in his hand that I believe was a handgun. That was the first time. And then when he moved around to his left, I lost sight of his hands, and he came back up, and this time it was, again, it was a clearer view as his right hand came across his body. Well, I'm behind him still, as he came, spun from his right to left, at which point I saw the object again.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. He's in the alley, he looks back at you, he then makes a movement to maybe conceal himself, right? At that point, before he arrives to the vehicle, you see the object?
Yes, as he makes his... after he looks at me, he makes a right turn, and that's the first time I see the object. And then, as I exit my car, he then makes kind of a sweeping left turn as he's kind of going away from me and around the front of my police car. At a bit of a distance there, that's when I saw it again. Saw the same object in his hand, second time.
Okay. And that object, you believe, was a gun.
Correct.
And okay. If you go ahead, or one quick thing to finish this thought. As he's making that sweeping left hand or leftward motion that you described, and he has the object in his hand, did he raise the item towards you, and what you thought was towards you or facing you?
I did not. I fired before he actually came up on what I would say came up on target, but he was moving in that direction, so he did not actually get it pointing to where I'd be looking down the muzzle, but it was coming from his right to left when I was off to his left, so it was coming in my direction.
And your thought at that moment was what?
That he was going to shoot at me.
Okay. So as he's coming towards you, did he already leave the area of that vehicle?
Yes. So he initially went to that car. Like I said, it looked like he was going for cover, and then he was moving away from me and around, like basically rounding the front of my car, but at a distance.
Okay. When you shot, how'd you hold your gun, your weapon?
Right hand is my dominant hand, so it was my standard. I use a Weaver stance.
So two-hand grip.
Two-hand grip. Okay. As I came up on, I had drawn my weapon as I had gotten out of the vehicle, and basically, I guess it'd be a low ready for a split second as he came around. When I made that decision to fire, I came up on target and shot twice.
Other than the silver object in his right hand, was he carrying anything else at that moment? When he was making that sweeping left-hand turn towards you?
I did not... All I focused on was what I believe was a gun. I did not see... I know he had something. I didn't see what it was until after he had gone down. The only thing that I noticed in was a black plastic box. I don't know what was in the box. I don't know. It was just about the size of a shoebox, black plastic box. And that's the only thing that I remember seeing near him after he went down.
Did he say anything to you at any time?
I did not hear him say anything.
Okay, that's all my questions. Is there anything else that maybe I didn't ask you or that you want to add?
I want to advise it at this point.
Okay, nope.
Corey, anything else?
No, all we would ask is that you keep all your notes, documents, handwritten notes, preset questions, all this until the matter is resolved.
Absolutely. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
And it might be something to talk to you offline, but as far as the, now that you had mentioned this part of the investigation, is the shooting review board, is that still part of your investigation, or
what are we talking about that?
Yeah, that's not anything to do with this right here. We'll talk offline.
Okay.
I'll answer your questions regarding that after we go off the tape here.
All right, we're good to go.
Okay, we're going to be ending the interview at 8:55.